ahead and start rolling. Give us the intro.
Welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast, but you're the man with the intro all the time.
Hello, welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is LT Primatron, speaking to you from Misfit Toys,
yes.
Houston, Texas.
But you cheated. You didn't do your song every week.
Hello.
There you go.
Hello.
But yes, we are in this really freaking cool toy store. It's literally like an old house that they turned it into toy store. Here in Houston, you come to the Heights, and there's a lot of places like that, just old buildings they turn into stuff that's practical, and it's really cool. So we have Daniel, the owner of Misfit Toys, sitting with us. So welcome, man, and thank you so much for letting us do this.
Oh, no, this is a blast.
This is something we've been wanting to do for a while. I told you the story before the show that a buddy of mine, Joel, knows you, and he'd been trying to hook us up, and Long was like, hey, I know Daniel, I'll ask him. So it worked out. And we appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Doing this stuff.
So, man, just tell us a little bit about like how you started and how you did this stuff.
We started the shop. My wife and I, we started at Trader's Village selling toys at the back of the sporty GTI. So that's even like less room in that thing. I had probably done sales for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I was in oil, and that's I had a lot of free weekend timing. It turns out that if you're really good at doing like selling stuff, you can apply that to selling toys just as easy. And I mean, the first weekend we went out to Trader's Village, we made $1,200 in one day.
Wow.
And I said, Jesus Christ.
This is easy.
Holy Moses. This is amazing. But I think not only that, there was this real connect with people. Hmm. I think we changed a lot of the ways people do business. 10 years we've been doing it. We do the whole shake your hand, mm-hmm. greet you, ask how your family is. We get to know our customers, and we did that for 3 years on the weekends. We didn't go out. We're building up money for a home. And then that's when the bottom fell out of the oil business, and I walked into this rickety old building, which is like a city block pretty much, that mm-hmm. it was a house 20 years ago. And they added room after room after room after room, and there was only one vendor in here. And that's a shop next door, Once Upon a Comic World. And I came in here, and on an impulse, the landlord was like, hey, don't I know you? Don't you sell toys? I go, yeah, I sell toys. And he's like, you ever thought of opening a store? I go, no, but, sounds like a cool idea. And then he was just like, well, I'll rent you that front room, this tiny little room for $1,000. And I said, yeah, okay. And that was that. And he goes, you want to sign a contract? I go, yeah, okay. And then I called my wife. And she was not okay.
Oh, man.
She goes, you just gave this guy $1,000? You're opening a store? I go, yeah. And she came, and, she's always had a vision for what we do. And well, that was 3 years ago, man. June, it'll be 3 years.
That's
awesome. We have two locations. Second one is at Trader's Village. My partner, David Franco, he runs that one. But we are doing so well that we're probably going to open our third brick and mortar in the east end of Houston this year.
Okay.
If all goes well. We're going to do Katy, but I just moved from Katy. I do not want to go near Katy for a while. So East End is beautiful. It's all coming up. It's one of those parts of Houston where, it's the cusp. It's change and everything's changed. And I live in that neighborhood. So the first hipster pizza joint appeared in that neighborhood. And, they're just going to start, they're just going to start coming in that neighborhood now, man.
Yeah. 'Cause
they have dynamite pizza. So, yeah, that's how we do it. And, yeah, we've been here 3 years. We love it. I love it. I love every minute that I work here. I work about 80 hours a week here.
Yeah.
Love it.
You got to do something you love, man. That's what's so great. And I'm sure, like a lot of us, you grew up influenced by all this stuff we see around us. I mean, what are some of your favorite things you grew up watching and fell in love with to collect and sell toys?
I tell this story a lot to my customers that when the Transformers came out, we're talking about 84. Mm-hmm. Before that, and I love history,
right.
Any history, I'm a history guy, but when it comes to toys, I love the history of toys because you got to like go back in that time machine and think what was out there. There was G.I. Joe, the big ones, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a lot of like toys for like, the Dukes of Hazzard. Mm-hmm. He-Man, obviously, the most popular toy line of all time, and that was great, but there was this kind of, this missing, there was something not there for the kids like me that we longed for something that was just a little more epic. Mm-hmm. Because a half-naked action figure, you know, I can't look like this guy. He's all ripped. But, you know, leave it to the Japanese to come out with this concept of turning toys from trucks into robots. But it took an American ingenuity to turn that into a TV show to sell toys. Mm. It was just, I mean, I would have loved to have been in that meeting.
Right. Yeah.
Guess what, guys? We're going to make all these toys already exist, but we're going to give them names and conflict. And I was literally, like, hooked. I ran into the kitchen, grabbed a glass, filled it with water, ran back into the living room just so I could drop it on the first episode of Transformers. I mean, my life straight changed that day. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. They all had different voices, and they all had this really awesome beef. Their Decepticons are trying to take over the, you know, energy sources from the world.
Right.
The Autobots always seem to, even though they can't fly, they seem to stop them in that 30-minute programming. You know, but there was just one character, Optimus Prime. Everybody knows about it. I came, like a lot of people, from Broken Home. My dad was never around. And you would look at Optimus Prime every day and all the things he would say and all the lessons he would give his fellow Autobots about being a better person, respect, you know, facing your fears, you know, commitments, working hard. And, like, you really, as a kid, like, connect. Mm. And, like, later this summer, I'm going to meet him in Dallas, Fan Expo. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, well, let's just say it's going to be intense for me. Because I'm like, we started Moonbase One, which is Houston's first Transformers club that we have over 220 members now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been less than a year that we've been doing it. And it's strictly...
there's a meeting going on soon.
There's a meeting going on right now.
Yeah.
It's strictly discussion. We don't sell toys during the, you know, on our page.
Right.
We just, anybody who has that connect...
Right.
And wants to come and talk about Transformers. But as I got older, I got into horror movie toys.
Mm.
McFarlane, NECA, Mezco, Soda Toys. And it was really that love. As an adult, living by myself with no girlfriend, my house looked like a toy store. You know?
Yeah. It's I've been there.
Oh, yeah, it was nuts, man. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't need to eat today. Because McFarlane just came out with season 7 of Movie Maniacs, and I would just gobble those up, man.
McFarlane changed the game when it came to horror toys. Giving us stuff we never thought we would have ever gotten our hands on.
Oh, absolutely, man. Their toys resembled, to the best detail, you know, the characters. You look at the Psycho, and it looks like Anthony Hopkins. Or the Thing, which is this gross monstrosity, you know, tentacles and eyes and teeth snarling. And it looks just like it did in the movies. Of course, when they parted ways with that kind of product, NECA picked it right up.
Mm-hmm.
And I see literally every single day new customers coming in there cannot believe that they make a Freddy for every Freddy movie, a Jason for every Jason movie, Hellraiser, or better than that, you know, we have over 2,000 Transformers in here. I mean, there's a Transformer for every single comic book, every series, every movie, every concept. You know, there's some concept ones people made up themselves and people wanted them. It's an intense business to be in.
Oh, I'm sure.
I love it.
What was the first Transformer you ever owned?
Easy, man. Yeah. Soundwave.
Soundwave?
Oh, yeah.
G1 Soundwave.
I think that's
set player.
Yeah, I told Long about the story that my mom, it was summer, and she's like, hey, go to some garage sales with me. I'm like, what? I don't want to be out there. It's hot. I want to stay and play with my toys. But Kingwood, which was not even a city, you know, 40 years ago or whatever, I mean, it was just like, you remember the part of the thing, Back to the Future, where it was just like, when he goes back into that same neighborhood, and it's just a street and a few houses. That was Kingwood back then. And then all these people are just, you know, moving in. And they had all these kids. All of these kids just selling their toys. These rich kids with all these amazing toys. And this mom had all these Transformers laid out. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. What in the Soundwave, Shockwave, Megatron, Starscream, Optimus, Blaster. And I mean, I was shy, so I was like, I said, how much is our mom? And she was like, how much are these toys? And maybe they took pity on us because we look like we're poor. We certainly look like we're poor.
Yeah.
I was wearing some corduroys for sure. She goes, they're a dollar each, but I tell you what, man, if you take a few, I'll go down to 50 cents. My eyes literally rolled into the back of my head.
Wow.
So I told my mom, I said, come here, I need to talk to you. And she said, what's going on? there's like 100 of these things there. I mean, this is going to be like $50.
Yeah.
I know it's 1984.
All right.
That's a lot of money. I said, I need every one of these, and I will clean my room. I'll cut grass. I will babysit. What you got?
I'll prostitute myself.
You have to buy me these toys. I'll never ask you for anything else. And she went for it.
Wow.
And she actually went down on the price a little more. We didn't have enough. And I had an instant like collection.
Wow.
But after that, I started to like, honestly, this is the truth. I babysat kids in my neighborhood. I taught people in my neighborhood, which is predominantly Hispanic, how to read and write in English.
Yeah.
To help with their bills. And, you know,
wow.
When people would come at you like, hey, you at least be able to give some kind of response. And I cut grass at like 11 years old. It sucked. But at the end of the week, I'd have like $25. And that was enough to get either a real premium transformer like Ultra Magnus or two or three like Hot Rod, you know, whatever. But, you know, it doesn't end there. We're talking about T-shirts, man. And like the pewter sets and the coloring books, man. I was like the king of the geeks, man.
Yeah.
I loved it. Of course, that all changed once you hit like 6th, 7th grade.
Right.
People look at you.
That's like, not cool. Yeah.
Oh man, what are you doing? You're not playing Nintendo? I'm like, what now? And then what Nintendo? What is that? And you know, we had to run out and get that system. That was kind of one of those things that kind of broke my heart, that I became susceptible to, you know, what people think about you. And then that's middle school all day, you know.
Yeah.
God forbid you didn't have the NES, or better than that, you didn't have one of those magazines that told you how to get to the next level or whatever. And I stopped collecting for quite a while.
Do you still have that first set that your mom got?
No. When I was like 16, I was riding my bike.
Oh.
And all day long I was on that bike, man. And when I came home, my mom had just finished up a garage sale and sold everything.
Oh, no.
It looked like somebody had chewed those Transformers and spit them out, because it was just like a leg, a gun, you know, a blaster rifle. And
someone had played pretty hard with them.
What have you done? And she was like, I sold them all. They've just been sitting in boxes. I said, no. I've been taking care of those. One day I was going to put those away. And she's like, I made you like $26.
Oh, no.
And I said, one day, woman, you're going to regret what you did. So when she comes in here, it not only blows her away that I never stopped doing this, but
you're making a living out of it.
I make a living, a handsome living.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a handsome guy, you know. So it's like, it's a handsome living doing this. But I think the best part is like, I go on vacation with my customers. My customers are like my family. The people that are, we're going to get my little girl, Diana, baptized soon, and one of my customers is going to do it. You know, one of my family friends. We have a lot of customers. I have little girls that are my little girls. Like, she's a year and a half. And so she's going to grow up in this. And I know that when we are done and we walk away from this, she'll take over the next generation. I mean, it's awesome, dude.
Oh, it is. It's a great thing to share. And you gave me ideas for my 10-year-old. He's going to start mowing the yards if he wants toys.
Oh, yeah. They'll do it, man. Trust me.
You should have started earlier.
I know,
that's
right?
That's a big yard, though. I mean, maybe he gets credit for 2 yards.
Maybe.
Yeah. Big one.
Yeah.
So I was walking through, and I saw some toys like that I gave away, because, like you said, gaming systems. The N64 became really popular. I gave away my Generations Megatron and some Power Ranger toys to my cousins, and they fell in love with it, on top of Ghostbuster figurines, which I was able to get some of those back. But you just seeing it, you know, all end up here, it's really nostalgic. So I had one of those moments too. Like, man, I should have kept that.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to say that the neatest thing that happens here on a daily basis is when somebody who hasn't seen Optimus Prime in 40 years, and they see one, and they see how much they've appreciated it, they all say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did my mom throw that toy away? Why did I give it to my cousin? Or why did I just give it away, you know? Right. And it's really nice that I think it's a weird thing to say, but people buy vintage toys now as home decor.
Right. Yes.
And it took me a long time to wrap my mind around that, because I never really looked at it that way. My whole house looks like a toy store, right?
Yeah.
To me, I'm looking at it like I'm displaying my toys. You know, these give me some kind of therapy.
Yeah.
I dust them on the weekend. I rearrange them. You know, I talk to them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I look at my alien statues. I'm like, man, you look awesome today. You know, that kind of thing. My Godzilla statues. Come on, guys. That's not, you're mad at each other. We'll turn you away from each other.
So what are your top five crown jewels in your collection?
In my collection? Oh, yeah. Buddy. Yeah, I got a lot of collection. Stuff.
What's your crown jewels?
Probably since I moved away from collecting toys for the last few years, I collect statues.
Yeah.
Statues are they're way expensive, so it keeps me from buying too many. Mm-hmm. This year we bought the Sideshow He-Man and She-Ra statues. They're over 2.5 feet tall.
Wow.
And they're just beautiful.
Super detailed. I think I saw one of them, very lifelike.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. One for the wife, wink, wink. You know, I'm like, look what I got you. And she's like, is this for me? I'm
boomerang.
Like, yeah, it's for you. And yeah. I came right back. And she's like, yeah, okay, dude, whatever. And it's like super sexy, too. So she's like, oh, Jesus. Up until recently, just because I had to move, I had a full size Ruby's Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
On the mannequin. And it's like the replica of the one he wore on the movies. And I think this thing's over 6 feet, 7 feet, like 7 feet tall. So we had it. But that was something I can get back. I have a lot of alien statues.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what started it. Maybe about 10 years ago, I got an alien statue. Now I have the queen and the warrior and all of those. I have this amazing Dracula.
Busts or
statues? No, full statues.
Oh, okay.
A full statue of Dracula walking down the stairs.
Oh, wow.
And one that's in the back, it's almost a 3 foot tall creature from the Black Lagoon. I love the old movies.
Oh, I do too. That's from
my
favorite.
The creature is gorgeous, man. But if I had to say my favorite thing right now in my collection is this winged dragon that's got maybe a 3.5 foot wingspan, and it's a statue, and he's clamping down on this wizard. And I was like, whoa, man, I know what this is. It's the dragon from a movie called Dragon Slayer from 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so freaking detailed, like every one of those like scales on the wings. Beautiful, but the dragon's face is just sinister.
Yeah.
It's not this corny CGI stuff you get. It's the meanest looking dragon. And in this movie, it was practical effects. It was all
I remember it.
Animation.
Yeah.
And when it would breathe fire, man, it was terrifying. Mm-hmm. You're like,
yeah.
They did this dragon dirty. Any part of this movie, he would just burn that village down. He didn't care. Like, you're going to throw some rocks on me? Okay. Boom. Throw fire. Oh, you're going to try magic? Boom. He would just burn the entire village down. So it's gorgeous, man. And I got it from a customer of ours who just passed away. It was one of his last things that he parted with. And it's like, it's staying with me, man.
No.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Yeah. So, man.
We were talking early. What's the rarest thing that anyone's ever brought in that just blew your mind?
Rarest thing? We did have I'm trying to remember what David was that Hulk number one?
What?
It was Hulk number one, Captain America number one, comic books graded.
Right.
Wow.
That was Hawkeye number one, David?
No. They got Wolverine number one.
Wolverine number one, right.
Well.
And this guy brought him in a dirty old duffel bag, and he was like tweaking or something. He was shaking.
Wow.
Like it was cold outside. It was like July. I was like, are you okay, buddy? And yeah, that's probably as far as comic books.
Yeah.
Toys don't have a long life. They've only been around since the 80s.
The
hard to find stuff is, there's just really not that much stuff that I can get anything.
Yeah. Have you seen the G1 Pepsi Optimus Prime?
Yeah.
Okay, so a
couple of times.
A couple of times.
They pop around. They pop up every season for cons. Somebody has one.
Yeah.
They're like $500 usually.
Yeah.
Even more rare is the Diet Clone Optimus Prime, which was on the inside of the trailer. It just says Diet Clone instead of not having anything because he wasn't called Optimus Prime.
It was called like Convoy.
Convoy. Like the Soundwave would say Cassette Man on his little cassette tape instead of just leaving it blank.
This is before Hasbro licensed.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the Diaclone had the little figures too? The
it
little
did.
Figures to
yeah.
write inside.
And that was even just more for him because Optimus Prime, well, those are, was it called Sentieri?
They were
thinking robots, basically.
Yeah.
Nobody controlled them.
Oh,
so. They didn't need all that. They didn't need the little people hanging around. Hey, get out of here with that.
Yeah.
They were
so cool because it's giving me understand why is there was there a little seat inside my Dinobot?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Big Grimlock didn't finish fifth grade. That's just, you didn't want some astronaut riding him and talking right. So
yeah.
It's much better.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. So I exhausted my questions about the toys.
I'm a Star Wars guy. So have you had anybody walk in with 12-pack Star Wars before? Because those are getting seem like they seem to be getting rarer and rarer. Because people are holding on. People aren't selling them anymore. They're hanging on to them, it seems like.
They're definitely holding on to them because every
original 12-pack Star Wars stuff.
12-packs?
Yeah. The movies, there's a new movie every year. Yeah. So it's really, a movie comes out, boom, interest gets re-sparked.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, I've probably talked to 20 people about the new
trailer. Yeah.
The Rise
of Skywalker.
So people have bought a lot of Star Wars today. But just like anything, Marvel movies come out, everybody wants that Thanos or Captain Marvel. You know, new Freddy movie comes out, I need that new Freddy. So it's all very impulsive in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the vintage collectors, what they find really nice about our shop is that we have maybe 2 to 3 different people a day come here to sell collections every single freaking day.
Oh yeah, I see it on Facebook.
There's stuff right now. We just guy came from Beaumont, one of my best customers. He comes and he's like, "I'm ready to get rid of this stuff, man. My kid's on the way. I just moved. I just got laid off. I just met a girl." You know, that's always a big one. This stuff's got to go.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. People are willing to part with them when they find things that are, it's important and it's time to move some toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably say for Logan, it was maybe about 200 toys or something.
Yeah.
It's 1% of his collection. Easy, you know, that kind of thing. But what people do, they come here every weekend and they get to see new vintage or new modern. And we keep it really fresh in here. Every day it seems like there's new toys because there really are new toys every single day. We have a storage facility that's just filled to the ceiling with stuff we have yet to process. So, you know, we hardly deal with any manufacturers. You know, we're not under anybody's thumb. So, like, 99% of the stuff in here comes from just people who have good stuff. And we clean up, man. We get it all.
Yeah.
And we have a really nice, I'm trying not to give away too many of our secrets, but we got a policy that we don't cherry pick.
Right.
If you come in here with 3 boxes of toys, it's because you want to get rid of 3 boxes. Mm-hmm. We're not going to tell you, well, I want just these 2
mm-hmm.
or just half, you know, and it makes it so much easier for the customer to do repeat business with us again if they need a purge. And that's really the key to this is that we find, I mean, I'll get some Transformers with 200 Beanie Babies mixed in that deal. I'm like, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when our second location, somebody will take those for $1. You know, so there's kids with not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we look out for that. And this, even though we're in the Heights and it's pricey to be here, we got probably at least 1,000 toys in here that are under $5.
Yeah.
You know, so we take care of everybody.
That's awesome.
Pretty good turnaround then. Once someone brings it in, it's usually.
It goes out in the same day if it's new, or a couple of days. I mean, it's nuts, man. It's just a revolving door.
I didn't realize Houston was such a collection, a lot of collectors in town. I know we're 20 million people living here, but I didn't realize.
Feels that way.
I get to go all over the United States toy hunting, and let me tell you, I've been to L.A., I've been to Washington, I've been to a lot of places, North Carolina, man, and there's usually at least 3 to 5 shops in the major cities, and it seems like if you're not with Marvel, you know, most of those stores don't want to cater to a customer that's a possible fan of, let's say, Bigfoot or, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, you know, where they know there's a bunch of people into Marvel or DC.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play that here, man. It's Marvel is like 5% of my store.
Yeah.
I tell people where to go. I go to Bedrock. I know exactly where you can find that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, everyone at this table, we've lived in Houston for, 40 plus years or so.
Oh, yeah.
Houston is not a very geek-friendly town. It's not. Because there's not very many, comic book stores to begin with.
Yeah.
There's only 3 or 4 that we can think of. And then there's not very many, toy collection places. There's only 2, really, or 3. If you count Third Planet, because Third Planet, they're just like, get in here and get out. Yeah. You know, they're cool people too. I'm not disparaging them. You know, it's just, they're not focused on what you're focused on here. You know, they're more focused on everything else. But I mean, we used to have an anime store, I remember Planet Anime. Yeah.
Woodlands Mall, right?
No, that's on Times Boulevard near Rice Village.
Yeah. It was a beautiful store.
I think this market is ready for another anime store, you know, because Crunchyroll, all the online stores.
Funimation now has their own channel.
I don't know, but we'll see. But our generation's trying to pick it up on the, you know, geek culture in Houston. It's not very, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even with, like, we have Compalooza here in about a month, and that's still the only major con we have in a city this big.
I
mean, we have that pandemic last year, which was okay, but for a startup, but is it going to last? You know, it just feels. I remember growing up as a kid, there were toy shows quite often at hotels and things like that over not too far from here, the right there at the corner of the Loop and 290. That hotel there used to have shows all the time.
I got my Venom Public Defender series there as a kid.
But now it just seems like this city is a. There's some smaller toy shows popping up, like Gulf Coast Toy Show, but they're way in the south side of town, and it's just like, so it's good to have a shop like this where people can come and find stuff, and it's like a little mini convention every weekend here.
Yeah. We keep it very, very fun here. We show horror movies on the weekend here, and it's only classics.
Nice.
For the Transformers Club, we show the Transformer movies, things like that. We do giveaways to the newest movies. We have our partners with like Warner Brothers and Disney, people that represent them, and we give away tickets every weekend.
Yeah.
Last week we got in 20 people VIP seating for Pet Sematary. That was sick, man. It was just like we walked right to the front. And like, oh, y'all are Mr. Toys? Come on in.
Yeah.
Felt pretty gangster. Like, right. Look at all my crew of nerds. I swear, every shirt was some kind of movie, some kind of hero or like Transformer. It was very funny.
Yeah.
We should definitely wear colors when we do that. Something colors.
Yeah. It's kind of very rock and rollish too, because I have to ask, is Misfit Toys inspired by the band The Misfits?
Oh, yeah.
I figured it was from your logo.
It's a
and
double
stuff.
Entendre for Island of Misfit Toys.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we do the, we're about to have some shirts with the same font from The Misfits real soon. But I play guitar and we covered The Misfits a lot when I was in a punk band. So
nice.
They've been a very epic part of my life. I'm like, hey, three chords, screaming, you can't lose.
Yeah.
And the fact that I got to meet them many, many times
that's awesome.
Made it just that much more epic. I mean, these are like rock, that music,
pioneers.
I mean, for me, it's The Cure, The Pixies, and The Misfits. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was those bands that changed everything. I mean, I learned how to play guitar because of them. And,
that's awesome. I remember a few years ago at Compalooza, I met Marky Ramone, and I was like, I normally don't get celebrity nervous, but I was like shaking to shake his hand. I was like, wow, you're Marky Ramone. So it's really cool. And he was a really nice guy, really down to earth. And
The Ramones are awesome. They I worked at Fitzgerald's for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I worked there for free just so I can do security for the band, so I can meet them and get like autographs. And I mean, I got to like hang out with the Ramones.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That's cool.
And then because of my contacts, when they came to tour with Frank Black, I got to meet Joey, man. It was like meeting Jesus Christ to me, man. This is like the guy that just, look at this guy, this lanky, weirdo guy, and he made something with himself. I'm like, I could do that too.
That's awesome. I spent many Saturday nights seeing local bands at Fitzgerald's back in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of bands.
I thought you looked familiar.
probably bash you up. You probably told me, behave, son. There's something he does.
Behave, son.
I was a pretty good kid. I didn't do those kind of bad things. People jumping off the balconies at Fitzgerald's.
Oh, yeah.
It happened.
You stop that.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Numbers. Yeah.
Numbers you have to take.
Numbers was the 90s.
Isn't it called hashtags now?
It's always had that sign up. Yeah. But it's like you have to take like three showers after you leave Numbers.
You really do. That's prep good.
Yeah.
That place has not changed in 30 years.
Well, that's cool that Misfit Toys is just growing.
Yeah.
And it's awesome that, you're just helping keeping that that presence alive for, some of the vintage toy collectors and stuff that, one man's junk is another man's treasure type of thing going on,
Yeah, certainly here.
And it's like, I have no use for this, but someone that was like, oh man, that's the holy grail to them,
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I like the story, like people looking for their childhood. I've been rebuying Star Wars stuff because For some reason, my mom kept my He-Man and kept some Transformers, but she got rid of the Star Wars stuff. So I've been rebuying it over the years, yeah. Some of it. You know, she kept some things, but, you know, it's like rebuilding that you lost, you know, because yeah. You want to remember it.
I heard a comment from a random customer here at Misfit Toys, like, yeah, my mom sold my stuff. I'm so mad at her. When she dies, I'll piss on her grave. You know, it's like, golly.
Dang, it's just a toy deal.
Whoa. It's a little...
Who said that? It wasn't me.
Hold on to your nostalgia a little too yeah. hard there, buddy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. But, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And some of the things you see here, I didn't realize that there was Pee Wee Herman toys right behind me like that. I have a Pee Wee Herman doll and a Pee Wee Herman kite at home because I was a big Paul Rubens fan when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I even have one of the VHSs, Captain Curtis with the old Lawrence Fishburne.
He's in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's on there.
I forgot he was in that show.
But yeah, it's really cool shop. It's my first time here. I should have come here a long time ago. Probably be a lot broker than that now.
We do label.
Yes.
This is also a refuge for any boyfriends or husbands with my wife yelled at me.
Just go hang out at the toy store.
Yes.
The place you can be yourself.
That's true.
I got to tell you about our first Moonbase meeting. Was anybody here from our first Moonbase meeting ever?
Moonbase? Our Transformers.
Yeah, we did... We probably had 60 people that first night, and half of those people were women. And I thought, well, this is great. You know, how fun we have all these women here who are Transformers fans. No. This is what happened. First Moonbase meeting we had. Every girlfriend, every wife, and every kid came along with dad to make sure that they were really going to a Transformers meeting and not some strip club.
Oh, wow.
And the wives were like, so this is really happening. And the husbands were like, yes. And they're like, I don't know about that. And the next meeting, attendance was cut by half.
Wow.
I still cannot believe how short them leashes are on some dudes, man. I was like, yeah, you messed up somewhere, dude. That's
right.
But now, you know, what's nice is we see different people at every meeting. Some people couldn't come last week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to this day, people tell me, oh, man, this is my one thing I get to do. You know, I have six kids, man. My wife is on my back. Right. She lets me do this. So,
you know, I wouldn't have known about this place if it weren't for a podcast I listened to called Kaiju Cast.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was about to push the stop button on it. And then he says, oh, in Houston, Texas, they're having a Kaiju Fest number 2 at Misfit Toys. And it's like, and I was like, what? It's like 3 days from now. You know, it's like, no way. So it's a good thing I didn't push the stop button because came over 3 days later for the Kaiju Fest. I wasn't about to come, by the way. I got lazy because I just drove from Orlando to Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, and then I came over here, and they were doing a quiz show, and I cleaned house. I won first place with the Kaiju questions that they were doing.
Yeah, you won an awesome poster.
Yeah, I won an awesome poster. Yeah, nice. I wanted the movie poster, but that's not all good. It's a local artist poster. Yeah. But, man, it's a blessing in disguise. So... Everyone's waiting here on. Are everyone's waiting on you, Daniel?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that. We may just keep going if that's.
Oh, yes.
You know, recording.
And, means,
man. Thank you for letting us have the show.
Toys, and we're going to give away tickets tonight to La Llorona. So that's pretty sweet. And commence with our Moonbase meeting. And guys, thank you so much.
No problem.
Really,
thank you for
letting
us hang out.
Setup, man. Yeah. We're all inside a hot tub right now.
Very relaxed.
Thank you for joining us, Daniel.
Right on. This is Toys for Life.
Yes. Thank you, man. Right.
Mute his.
What's up?
Mute his mic. Which one was it?
It's.
Or do you want to move?
Oh no, I'm fine.
Oh. I don't even know which one it is.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Download this.
Well, yeah. Download this. We just get right into the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I finally watched some stuff this week. So, I'm gonna go first.
Go for it.
I watched. You know, I downloaded DC Universe, told you that last week. So I finally got around and watched the first couple of episodes of Titans. You remember that trailer came out back in the day? It was kind of like, what? You know, it didn't look very good, man, but it's actually... Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Can I talk?
Yeah, you can talk.
Yeah.
No, you can't talk, man.
You have a random Moonbase member here.
I'm Zach Anderson, and... to sit it out.
Don't be nervous. No one's watching you except him, this guy.
Yeah, yeah, because I have a lazy eye. So I see him and I see you.
So what are we talking about?
Well, usually we start the show and we talk about what we've watched this week or what we've listened, downloaded. You know, we call it download.
Well,
this.
So I've been listening to music on the wall here. Okay, the point is, like a few months back, I watched up all the way to season 3 of G1 cartoon. It was all right.
Nice.
A lot of reused animation a lot of times.
Okay. Yeah, still.
So how was Titans, Mark?
It was good, man. It was, actually, it's very violent. Yeah. Very, like... Rob, okay, in the trailers, right? You know where it says like F Batman. There's a reason for it in the show.
Yeah.
Basically, this takes place right before he becomes Nightwing.
Yeah.
So him and Bruce are kind of at arms with each other.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense, but and it's really like a lot of cool DC moments in it so far that I didn't expect. But it's still kind of has that CW cheesiness to it because it's still being produced by the same guy, but it's a little more adult. And so far the action scenes are excellent. It's really good. And I also watched the first episode of Doom Patrol. That is awesome.
Doom Patrol.
Ape shit crazy. It's really cool.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser is.
And he's a robot man.
Keep our language down too, because there are kids around.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah. This is not a regular episode.
And it is. It's really cool. I've only watched the first episode of it, but I was like, wow, this is really, really neat for DC.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch more of it, and I've been watching Young Justice, the third season so far.
Yeah.
And the first two seasons of that cartoon were excellent. And the new season is so far so really good. Young Justice might be one of the best. It might be as good as Batman animated series.
Season 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as cartoons and stuff that DC have done.
I don't know if I watched anything.
He's been slacked off again this week.
I don't remember. What have you been watching?
I watched Kill Bill because it was on Netflix, and I thought my son was paying attention.
I thought you didn't know what Netflix was.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did make that joke earlier. And I thought my son was distracted with his tablet because usually he tunes everything out if he's watching his YouTube channels.
Probably not.
And he looks over and she's fighting the crazy 88, and Jake sees this person's arm cut off and just, you know, blood splaying everywhere. And they're like, whoa. He's like, that's not real, right? Because that can't cut through bone. I said, a Hattori Hanzo sword could. And but I had to quickly put him to bed so that he didn't see too much.
Yeah,
he's forgotten about it since then.
Hey, yeah, guys.
Yeah,
it's okay to say swears because I know the F word.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
There we go.
It's fine.
We're allowed one in a PG-13 movie,
just
right?
Just go up to H. That's I think that's far as we can legally go.
Well, yeah, one in a PG-13. Like that thing online where it's like you drop an F bomb in Lord of the Rings or Star Wars. Like, where would you put it at?
Oh, yes.
It's kind of weird.
But, it is a medieval word.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, fornication and consent of the king.
Or it's a farming word.
A farming word?
Yes.
I thought it was a
planting a seed.
Okay.
Oh, yes, it could be.
With the download this, I'd say just watching the Star Wars teaser trailer.
Yes, man, we didn't even talk about that yet.
Yeah.
We usually save news for the end, but that's big news, man. We are
Rebel Radio after all.
Can I say something?
So we got a Star Wars teaser finally for episode 9.
The Suicide Watch has ended.
The Rise of the Skywalker. The title was a surprise. First off, there was a lot of rumors about it being betrayed. Was it Balance of the Force, Will of the Force, rumors that was going to be. Then the trailer hit yesterday morning, and we get the end of the trailer, and it's The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
There's all kinds of speculation already about what this means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can speculate all day long. There's rumors that Skywalker becomes a new term for Jedi, you know,
or a new order.
Or a new order. Yeah. But first off, let's just talk the trailer, man. Your first reactions. I mean,
it was good. I mean, but my dad had a thought that he's like, as she jumps, she gets hit by it. Clunk.
We don't know yet. I mean, it's because they say
our man. What's his name? David?
Zach,
that's right. So you're here for Moonbase 1, right? Okay, cool.
I really like this podcast.
I
hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, we're trying to make this a semi-regular thing.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. A lot of people want things more explained to them in movies.
You can have a sticker, man.
A lot of people want explanations, but it's Stan Lee that said that, you know, we require true believers whenever we're watching these films. And I think you should take that with you. Be a true believer. It is what it is. And sometimes there's not a reason for it. and sit back and enjoy. It's going to be a really good film. I think it's, you know, with Darth Sidious at the end, you can't go wrong.
No one calls him Darth Sidious. No one calls him Darth Sidious.
Okay, my dad thought it was Snoke at first. Like that
it could be.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You don't know.
Well, Ian McDiarmid, though, pretty much confirmed it's him.
That's true.
He came out during the panel. Yeah.
I could tell you that it left a last impression, which is seeing the remnants of the Death Star.
Yeah, that last shot in the trailer is just like, wow.
Hearing the Emperor's cackling at the end. So it is him. It does sound like
basically, him. Basically, Snoke sounds like Talvez is like,
it's much more defiant.
You gotta get the tone.
It's like a cackle. I guess more of a cackle.
Than a laugh.
Yeah.
Like an evil chuckle.
Yeah.
More of a cackle than an evil laugh.
But that's download this for this week for me.
Download this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, I think everybody's. Well, I watched Star Wars Trailer probably 7 or 8 times easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I just kept having to see if there were any details I didn't notice. I really am curious just where they're going with this. You know, because I thought The Last Jedi, you know, was fantastic. You know, I know a lot of people, it had its detractors, but I want to see where JJ takes her from this point on.
I'm fine with it. We'll be launching our feature movie.
Our feature movie today,
What's our feature?
District 9. Which is, we tend to sometimes do anniversary of films, and this is, it's been 10 years since it came out. It's hard to believe it's been that long. Seems like it just came out yesterday.
It's pretty good.
And, you've seen District 9?
Well, I haven't seen it, but I have heard good things about it, so I assume it's good.
And so I watched it last night for the first time in a while.
I've heard about the plot. It seems very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And so
Mark, when was the first time you guys saw this? I did not see this in theaters. I remember missing it in theaters and catching on video.
I saw it on theaters.
Yeah.
Back in 2008, wasn't it?
Or 2009. It's 10 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember it was very grounded style, documentary esque movie. It wasn't a found footage garbage.
No.
And I like how intimate the movie was portraying the plight.
Pretty good.
Portraying the plight of the aliens.
There you go.
And the social complexities of...
It's like racism, but worse.
Yes.
The complexities of how, you know, South Africans dealt with the alien immigrants. And it's so ironic considering that South Africa was, you know, part of apartheid, which separated, you know, blacks from the whites.
Right.
And now it's kind of funny watching how, you know, South Africans dealing with the alien issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it. I saw it on DVD when it first came out. And
Misfits Autobot logo version.
I think I've maybe watched it one other time since.
We're talking about a movie right now.
Yeah.
Until last night, I rewatched it last night for the first time in a while. And as I was watching it, I was like, wow, this is like, it's really good. I like how it jumps from being documentary-esque to also a film. And I really like the simplicity. And you guys know me because y'all report with me.
Yeah.
I like movies where they don't explain everything. Well, they give you a basic narration at the beginning of the movie as why these aliens were there. And then they go with it. They don't have to explain the tech. Like, he just finds this robot buried amongst everything towards the end of the film. And it's badass. But I also like the fact that it's not like a indestructible robot. It's vulnerable.
Yes.
I just like I felt this is very grounded in reality type film. And it works really well on a lot of levels. How do you say the actor's name?
Charlton Copley.
He is so good in this, and it's the first time he's ever acted, and he got the role on accident because they had him stand in the film for someone else that wasn't there that day, and he ended up Neil Blomkamp even giving him the role for the film.
That's hilarious.
And he's excellent. Like, when this guy is like this worker for the MNU, and he's going to try to help get these aliens out of the District 9, you like believe this guy can do it. You kind of buy into this salesman mentality he has. But then, of course, everything goes wrong as they enter the slums. It could go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and you almost like feel bad for him as you go on this journey with him, you know? And it's really, I forgot how good this movie was and how ultra violent it is at times, too, because it's set in such like this reality type feel of a movie. When was the first time you ever saw Matt?
I believe I saw it in 2009 in theaters. I did go to see this one. And like Lon said, I'm glad that it wasn't done, you know, sketchy footage, documentary style like Cloverfield. I felt like it was a lot better, a lot more enjoyable because of the way it was shot. I enjoyed it then, and I enjoyed rewatching it.
The point of District 9, it's one of the best examples of science fiction genre at its best, where it talks about important social issues, you know, like immigration, racism, and it puts it in a science fiction setting.
Yeah, and it's handled in a way that doesn't piss anyone off, and that's why I think it's really good about it. It can appeal to all people, and it's interesting because Peter Jackson almost directed this film, but he started pre-production of the Hobbit films, and he got busy with that, and he handed it off to Blomkamp, it was Blomkamp's idea to produce it like a documentary style. He came in with this idea, and Peter Jackson thought it was great. And of course, the rest is history.
Weren't they trying to make like a movie similar to Halo?
Well, originally they were going to produce a Halo film, and Blomkamp was going to direct that too. But of course, the Halo film has been in production hell for 15 years now, and Peter Jackson and the rights of it all fell apart. So they had this script sitting there, and they were like, "Well, let's do this movie instead."
It's cheaper,
It ended up being a much cheaper movie, and it came out really well. And people forget this was nominated for Best Picture.
Yes, it was the first documentary style film that was nominated.
Yeah, for an Oscar. And the science fiction film for that too. Because this was the first year that nominations were changed. Around 2008, we only had 5 Best Picture nominations, and The Dark Knight did not get nominated, and it kind of changed that. And District 9 was the first of those films to get nominated when they expanded the nominations that year to up to 10 films. And it deservedly so. And I think the CGI in the movie is really great, too. It works seamlessly. The only real alien in there is Christopher Johnson. He's the only alien that's actually a man in a suit. Which I think was, and even he looks really good. Doesn't look like a man in a suit. Really, for a concern of the budget they had to work with on this film.
Everything looks really good to me. I mean, even the props that they use for the burnt carcasses on the table. Whenever they're raiding everything at the end, trying to get the fluid.
Yeah. Yes. There's some really grotesque stuff in this movie.
It really is.
But I think that's what gives it that edgy realism to it, because if there were aliens on our planet and they were like this, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be probably a little dark. There's going to be secret labs where the government's doing experiments and they're not going to tell anyone about it. We know that's going to happen, and all that's discovered throughout this movie. And he goes from being working for the MNU and wanting to get them out of there to sympathizing with them by the end of the film. He's trying to save them.
Yeah.
And they allude to the fact that it has something to do with the fact he's wearing an alien arm. He just realizes that everything is wrong about this whole situation, that they should be allowed to leave the planet if they want to. And he does such a good job portraying that. I mean, for a first-time director and a first-time actor in Coldplay, there's some really good stuff in this.
So his character turned into an alien, basically?
That's what they allude to at the end of the film, where you see him standing there. That final shot is supposedly him, because he's building a little thing that he sent his wife. That he remember at the end of the movie. So, they allude to that he turned into an alien.
That's crazy.
Well, there were rumors about.
Well, yeah.
There's been rumors about a sequel for years, and Blomkamp has kind of talked about it, but I think he's moved on since.
Yeah.
He's going to do RoboCop Returns now. He hasn't made a movie as good as this one since. Like, Elysium is decent, and Chappie is decent, but he hasn't returned to form.
I really like Chappie.
I enjoyed Elysium and Chappie for what they are, but neither one were as good as this first film.
I heard Hugh Jackman was quite the character in that.
He was, man.
He was a villain?
Yep, he was a villain.
But I really enjoyed rewatching this, man. I haven't seen it in a while, and I'm kind of glad we picked it. We forgot to mention we're doing Space and Beyond Month as we lead into so we lead into Avengers Endgame coming out and Comicpalooza, and I really thought that this was a good fit in it. Yeah, it's not in space, but it deals with space aliens and stuff, and I thought it was a really enjoyable film that counterparts, especially last week's movie Enemy Mine, dealing with interspecies relations. It really counters that movie. And it goes with our theme this month really well.
And I thought we were going to do Starship Troopers, because that was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Turns out the
eight. Have you watched that recently, though?
I know it's not very good. But it's got Denise Richards in it.
Some parts of it are good.
No, it's
there's
good.
There's the part where they're all getting in the showers and stuff.
Boobs, yeah. Matt.
If you see it as a satire.
Yeah. I know.
I had to read the
book in high school. I actually read the book. The book is much different.
Yeah.
It's actually hard to read.
It's timeline.
Yeah. District 9. We might do Starship Troopers one day. I don't hate the movie. I just it doesn't hold up as much.
Well, it does because some of books. G.I. Joe vehicles. Yeah.
So District 9, G.I. Joe the A+.
An A+. Yeah, I'd give it.
I would give it an A. I don't know about an A+, but an A. Because I think Terminator 2 is my A+, and then everything
it's
else.
It's okay
is,
more than one movie to have an A+.
No, I feel
Aliens
like,
is an A+.
It's like having a best friend. You can only have one best friend. I mean, not everyone can be your best friend.
No.
So, yeah. So, what's in the news?
Man,
we already talked about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Star Wars enough, though?
Nah.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the trailer today for Fallen Order, the new game?
Yeah.
Looks really,
I didn't see that.
Looks cool, man.
It's EA, though.
But it's licensed out, though. EA's just distributing it.
Ah.
That other company made the
game. They're just distributing it?
Yeah. Oh. I can't remember that the company, the logo's on the trailer. They're actually Respawn. They're
okay,
making the game.
But, you get the idea.
I thought it looked really cool. I thought it didn't show enough of the Jedi stuff in it. Like it's more like a teaser trailer, you know.
Yeah.
But graphically, it looks really pretty so far. And how will it play? We don't know.
I'll be disappointed if it came out with loot boxes and free to play mechanics instead of an actual first player game.
Trivia like at the place is going to begin soon.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to be
I'm
a Debbie Downer.
I'm
going to
leave the table for a minute. Please don't finish up without me.
Okay.
Right. Just tell me when you're finishing up, and then I'll
finish
for
the Anyways, we'll finish up.
It was a very interactive.
So there is somewhat more Star Wars news. Disney Plus got announced. Only $7 a month.
Not
comes
bad.
Out November 12th. Is there anyone who's not going to subscribe to this?
Is Netflix scared right now?
The Mandalorian is going to premiere on it. We'll get that. We're recording on Saturday. We're going to get the Mandalorian trailer tomorrow. So we won't be able to talk about it until next week.
It's a darn shame that you haven't kept up with Game of Thrones because Pedro Pascal is amazing in season 4.
And he's going to be in the Mandalorian.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Don't worry. I'm DVRing it during the free preview this week until I get caught up.
Right.
I won't get caught up by next week when it premieres, but I'll get caught up eventually.
Thankfully, it's only 10 episodes per season.
Right.
And what, 7 or 8 episodes?
I know, but I have to watch it at night when the kids are in bed because it's way too adult. You know, but yeah, man. And so this, you know, they've also announced Falcon and Winter Soldier, bringing a Loki TV show, a Vision and Scarlet Witch show.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of these are premiering when it comes out, but I just think that this is, man, Netflix, the What If series, that's interesting.
What if they animated?
And man, it's Netflix has me scared a little bit. Don't y'all think?
I mean,
they said stocks dropped that day after it was announced. I mean, Disney is a powerful, powerful empire.
It's going to be super competitive.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and if you keep paying attention to rumors, Warner Brothers is apparently working on the streaming service as well.
Oh, heck. Yeah. It's like, come on. We're trying to deal with cable, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they jacked up the prices of YouTube TV to $50 instead of...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went up.
It went up to $49.99 to add Discovery and a bunch of other channels. So, but anyways... I don't know.
And there's going to be a Cassian Rogue One TV series on there, too.
We can't afford all these freaking streaming.
No, well, what they want you to do is they want you to unplug your cable eventually and just have streaming. But then you have to have unlimited internet, which will run you $120 a month. So in the end, are you really saving money?
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with it. And eventually, there's some going to die off. I could see a world where there's maybe 4 that survive, you know. And that might be Disney, Netflix, Hulu, and maybe one other. I do like the idea. What's really scary is the fact that they might package a deal where you get ESPN, Hulu, and Disney Plus for a package deal. That could really hurt Netflix. You get 3 big streaming services for a price, you know.
Yeah, especially with Netflix going up. Netflix is going up again. It's going
to
be $15,
$16
a month.
I'm already subscribing to Crunchyroll for all my anime needs. Now Funimation. Separated from that, I'm miffed about that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And then the only other news I had was that they announced, I mentioned earlier watching Titans, that season 2, Ian Glenn from Game of Thrones is going to play Bruce Wayne Batman in season 2.
Dora Mormont's going to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting how he will sound American.
Play into things, yeah. Because he's a really good actor. He's one of those actors when I've watched the Game of Thrones I have watched, I thought to myself, where's this guy been all this time? Because he's really good.
Yeah.
You know, and then he finally got his big break with Game of Thrones. And he's an interesting choice for Bruce Wayne. Not somebody I would think of right away.
He was in Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Downtown Abbey?
Yeah, Downton.
That's Frank's show. Frank's not here. Frank loves Downtown Abbey.
He does.
No, I like it, too. It's a really well-written show.
You can hang out with Frank and talk about it.
You know what? Mark, not every piece of entertainment has to have, you know, science fiction-esque action.
It doesn't?
Yeah. It's like you got to expand your horizons. I'm afraid to think about what if I ever made you watch Seven Samurai.
Yes, like, Seven Samurai.
It's like one of the.
I've seen parts of it.
Yeah.
It's like 3.5 hours
long. It's a 3.5 hour long movie, but you won't notice it because the characters are so well written, so well acted.
I've actually always wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
I just never.
I have a copy of it on Criterion Blu-ray.
Maybe one day we will do.
Maybe I can borrow it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Speaking of Criterion, I watched. Actually, you'll be proud. I watched Red River, starring John Wayne.
Wow.
From 1954.
It's a good movie.
John Wayne. Very good movie.
I'm partial to The Searchers. When it comes to Wayne, is my favorite, but Red River is very good too. Yeah.
I think my favorite John Wayne movie is probably still Stagecoach.
Really? Yeah. Interesting choice.
Stagecoach and what was the other one?
Well, everyone loves True Grit, but True Grit's okay.
Yeah. Some of his older stuff. But anyways,
yeah.
Went on a tangent.
No, it's okay.
So, yeah.
But other than the Star Wars trailer shooting all the news this week, that's all the news I had, unless you can think of something that I missed. You know, it's kind of a slow week for news.
Yeah.
Well, the Lion King trailer came out, but we don't really... Yeah, you know.
We've seen the Lion King before.
2D I did think forever.
The Pumbaa was funny at the end of the trailer. That kind of made me chuckle a little bit. But other than that, you know,
I've already seen the original.
Star Wars blew up the internet this week. But the,
I think we should wrap this up.
The Rise of Skywalker.
We'll wrap it up soon.
Yeah.
Actually, that's great timing. We are actually, wrapping
this
it up.
Is the, yeah. Actually, I thought the show would go longer, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked Compalooza yet. We have to. We're part of the Compalooza program, so we have to give it a few minutes every week. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're going to be there at Compalooza May 10th, 11th, and 12th. We're going to be recording live at Compalooza. We're going to be talking. Speaking of Star Wars, 20 years of the Phantom Menace.
Yes.
That's what we're going to talk about at Compalooza as we look back on that movie 20 years later. And that should be a lot of fun. They didn't do a lot of big announcements this week. They did announce Jay Lee, comic artist. He's going to be there. He was supposed to be there a couple years ago, and I had my comics ready for him to sign. Then he ended up canceling at the last minute.
Yeah, he ended up not.
So I hope he's there this year because I've got some stuff I might get Jay Lee to get signed. But no big announcements for Compalooza this year. I think last week's Amelia Clark announcement kind of slowed things down, but I'm sure there's more coming. I don't think Compalooza is done yet. Yeah. Well, did we talk last week? Grant Gustin, The Flash, is going to be there.
I think we mentioned that. Last week.
More comics Palooza instead of oil and energy.
Oh, well, they did announce Bob Layton. Bob Layton was going to be there, longtime comic artist or writer. Yeah. Layton's a writer, so they did announce some stuff. So Compalooza will be there about a month. Well, today, what is it? April 13th, a month from today.
Wow.
May 10th, 11th, 12th.
Saturday.
And 13th. We're also on a panel. At a trivia panel against another pod, we're going to be doing, I think it's going to be Star Wars trivia, so it should be right up our alley. So, you know, it should be a lot of fun at Compalooza 2019.
Do we know who we're going against? I forget.
The Gentleman No Class podcast. The guys, Ryan and I Am Geek, they're hosting it. So they're putting it on, so we're going to be doing some trivia challenge with them. So should be a lot of Rebel Radio presence at Compalooza.
Yes.
And it should be fun. Of course, I'm running the podcast program with Erica, you know, it should be a lot of fun.
William Shatner will clean house that Star Wars trivia. All
right. So next week, man, we're gonna round up Space Beyond next month as we get ready for Avengers Endgame by talking a movie that's going to turn 40 years old, and it's a all-time classic. I know a big favorite of yours, Long. It's one that you definitely wanted to do this year on the show. And we're going to do the original 1979 Alien.
Oh, snap.
Directed by Ridley Scott. And, you know, this movie scared the shit out of people when it came out.
Yes.
By today's standards, it's maybe not as scary as some stuff. But when it came out, man, this was a horrifying science fiction picture. And not my favorite in the franchise. I'm impartial to Cameron's Aliens, but I do like Alien a lot, too.
Yeah.
And so what
a quick preview. Pet Cemetery was better.
Well, we're talking Alien right now. So why'd you pick it, man? I mean, not that I don't mind you picking, but I'm just curious.
You know? It's as you mentioned, it's a 40-year anniversary of Alien, and it's a visually sumptuous science fiction horror movie.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, it broke a lot of rules. Had a,
Darth Vader terrified my mom.
It had a female lead character.
Yeah.
It had a lot of sexual overtones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And non-consensual stuff.
It's dark and suspenseful for a science fiction film, and it's not a lot. Science fiction at that point had been Star Trek scary. And colorful, and even Star Wars was more colorful. And here was a science fiction film that challenged those ideas of being a little bit darker and scarier.
All power to them,
and it's gritty.
Way for other
it's very gritty. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a gritty world amongst it all. You know, so it's just going to be a fun one to talk about next week to finish off.
I agree.
What do you think about Alien? Get ready to talk about it.
Alien, I think it gave us a strong female lead that's overlooked nowadays. And it's going to be fun watching Ridley shoot some aliens up. And and Spider-Man's reference in
Infinity. Well, there's only one alien in this one.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So
am I thinking of Aliens?
Aliens.
With the
a whole bunch of them.
With the Spider-Man reference in Infinity War, didn't they use...
So, thank you again to Daniel.
Thank you to Misfit Toys for letting us hang out here, Zach, hanging out.
Good to be here.
Thanks, Zach.
Go to therebelradiopodcast.com for all your podcast needs. We're on pretty much all the apps. And this is pretty cool, man, hanging out here in this world of nostalgia.
Yes, you know? Nostalgia.
And
Mr. Toys.
It's like you feel it, man.
Follow us on Twitter at Rebel Radio.
Pod. You can't fit pod. You can't fit podcast in there. Like Twitter. I don't know why Twitter doesn't.
Or you can follow me at LT Primatron.
No one wants to follow you. No, just kidding.
Fine.
Yeah. You just started that new Twitter, so you need followers.
Yeah. I only
take
have
pity.
Followers.
Take pity upon Long. Three. And I'm probably two of them. The right. Show and me.
LT Prima.
LT Prima. Yeah. I'm gonna
add another.
Oh, thank you. Probably me too, but I don't have a account, so.
And
yeah, you don't want to be
Twitter's
on social
like,
media.
Yeah.
Hold
Twitter,
on that.
Especially Twitter. No.
No.
No, not Twitter.
No Twitter sphere for you.
Yeah, even Tumblr's kind of worse.
Yeah.
Come out if you're in Houston, man. Come out to Misfit Toys here on Yale Street. Right at Yale and 18th Street, and check it out, man. It is awesome. Daniel is a great entrepreneur. I guess that's a good word for him.
Yeah.
And he will.
Don't go stealing any stuff.
And if you can't find it, he'll probably find it for you.
We'll find it.
We want to give Misfit Toys some love for having us here. We hope to do this again. This is awesome. And again, thank you to them for having us out here.
If you ever see us in this place, I will hunt you down.
And thank you for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. This has been Mark.
This is Evil.
I will hire Bouncer
LTs.
This is Matt the Electric Monkey.
As always, thank you for listening. Remember, just
go there and do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Monkey Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.